welcome everyone to James and Laura's Chinwag. I mean, I don't normally do that intro, do I? I normally do however my other one goes. But
I'm really James excited about my latest guest.
Exactly. But the Chinwag. Now listen, we've got to apologise, haven't we, Laura, that your husband's nicked your headphones.
No, they are his. So that, in fairness.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, yeah, but
yes, okay, let's blame him. I feel
he's the hunter gatherer.
That's true.
You're quite old school. You believe a man's job is to go out and kill things and bring them back to the home. And I think one of those things he must kill is earphones.
A pair of earphones, yeah. Well, he needs it for his hunter-gathering skills himself, in fairness. You know, earphones instead of an actual spear. He needs them himself, so that's the problem. Anyway,
we're going to be stuffed, though, Laura. When it all kicks off,
yes.
As it's going to, sure, I had this discussion with Toby, and Toby thinks that his neighbourhood watch group is going to save him from the marauding mobs that are going to come round to his house demanding his last supplies of, I don't know, foie gras and Waitrose cassoulet or whatever. And I just know it ain't going to be like that. You know, it's basically going to be like, well, I mean, the sort of pre-industrial era, the sort of maybe it's going to be a return to the heroic age where heroes went forth to fight and die.
That's how it's going to be. Your chances, do you? Yeah.
No, totally not. This is the thing. I one of the things I wonder about is, okay, so lots of people are discovering important skills they're nurturing these skills, like how to identify medicinal plants, which actually is, no, a good idea. You don't want to be reliant on Big Pharma. I mean, now.
Yes, indeed. We agreed on that last week.
I think you're definitely better off with medicinal plants. But in terms of, I mean, have you tried gardening? Have you tried growing vegetables and stuff?
Oh, come on now. Yeah, like I'm going to start growing the onions in amongst the, you know, with whilst feeding the baby. No. I've read these people who do this, you know, fair enough. But it's huge amounts of time. It's crazy amounts of time. And it's time I just, you know, I just don't have. I wouldn't even pretend to myself that I could do that. I mean, maybe you can do it. Yeah, I mean, I get that it's a skill and it probably wouldn't take up that much time, you know, if you knew what you were doing. But, you know, my neighbours do it. I could barter. I shall barter for those who can do all that self-sufficient farming situation.
What are you going to barter? What have you got?
Oh, I'll have something. You know, I can play the piano, so I'll play them, a nice piece while people are...
You play them Imagine.
Knocking the door down. Yeah, exactly.
You can threaten to play Imagine unless they give you some stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I do. They do. They do give us some tomatoes now and again. But yeah, no, I haven't even ventured with the garden thing.
Because this is what bothers me, Laura. This whole self-sufficiency thing. I mean, I think it's a great idea in principle, and it'd be lovely. You know, there are various skills I wish I'd mastered and I would like to master in, like, if one could do it in a week's crash course. So I want to be able to lay a hedge. And it's actually somebody's offered to teach me to lay a hedge, but he doesn't understand that he's got to contact me not via YouTube, because I don't, you know, he's got to email me or something.
Okay.
And I can reply to him. I would like to learn how to lay a hedge. I'd like to be able to butcher an animal, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a skill. That is a skill. Yeah.
Grow like a deer, butcher a cow, things like that. Or a butcher a steer, I suppose it would be. And to raise chickens and to keep bees and stuff like that. But on the actual grow your own business, the amount of space you need, that they try and say, oh, even if you've got a windowsill, you can grow bean sprouts and cress. Well, yeah, right, that's going to keep you for all of a day. The amount of land you need to be able to be self-sufficient, and then you need a gardener, because there's no way. I mean, everyone I know who's self-sufficient, or pretty much self-sufficient, has an estate with a walled garden and about three gardeners to grow it for them. The actual back-breaking tedium of growing your vegetables and raising livestock. I mean, there's a reason why people gravitated from the land to the cities, because the rural life, when you feed yourself.
I would be very cautious about it. I actually didn't think we probably do have the space. We do have some space, but it's all. I don't even pretend that I'd be able to do that. It's all time and money. And at the end of the day, I feel like I do enough domestically. You know, the idea then that I'm going to start hoeing the onions or whatever it is you do with onions. No, I'm not doing that. Sorry. I'm not even going to pretend I'm going to do that. I mean, as you know, from last week, currently I'm giving out about the fact that people, every single lifestyle piece keeps telling me to give up my tumble dryer. But
yeah.
Did we do that last week? Yeah?
We did.
Yeah, so here we go. Here we go. Yeah, and they're still at it. This has been a theme for 2 weeks. I know you don't read the papers. Times two. First, there you go. 22 smart ways to save. First item, tumble dryer. So give up your tumble dryer. No, this is a way. You're only doing what the greenies want you to do. I said this on Mark Stein. Oh, don't eat any more meat. Oh, yeah, they've been telling us that for 10 years, right? Don't drive your car. Your diesel and your petrol is so expensive. Don't even bother driving your car. Oh, yeah, they've been telling us that for 10 years as well. Throw out your tumble dryer. Oh, I might as well throw out my washing machine. You'll have me down washing the clothes, you know, putting it through the wringer. No, I'm not doing it. I you're bringing out my feminist side now. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I want my white goods and I want to be able to drive my car. And I'm not, you know, going to go all hippy dippy. Sorry.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you haven't mentioned the big one. Don't have kids. You know, because obviously, you know, exactly. Who needs kids? I mean, they're just a drag on your selfish lifestyle.
Which brings me back to Toby, who I've only met a handful of times. I know you guys do your podcast, which I should listen to, but don't. But he's my fellow person who has four children in England. So now and again, he wrote a piece on it saying, you know, when he had his four kids, it was sort of seen as, you know, good on you, well done. Whereas, of course, now it's like, oh my God, you environmental destroyer. And so I did email him out of the blue going, you know, I'm with you here. Peace.
Do you know who's an even better?
Without even knowing him, yeah?
Do you know who's an even better ally? Have you ever met Helena Morrissey?
I know, yeah, but I like her. I don't, but I know she has the nine, but she does have a stay-at-home Buddhist husband. Yeah.
He's not a Buddhist.
Oh, I thought he was. I remember reading.
No, he's one of us. He's a Christian.
Oh, good, yeah.
Oh, no, totally.
Good for her.
No, and he's brilliant, and she's brilliant. And do you know what else? I tell you what, they are some of the nicest kids.
I know, I bet they are.
Well-balanced. Super intelligent, super achieved. It's like the sort of family that we should all have.
I know, you're putting pressure on me now, James, that my four turn out okay, which is no guarantee. Yeah, I know. But this is it. This is the greenies. They and people use it now as an excuse all the time. Oh, I'm not going to have children because of the environment. Give me a break. You're not having children because you want to go traveling the whole time and you just can't be bothered. You know, it's just now it's a convenient excuse. I'm not doing the veg thing. As I said, that's not happening.
I think we're both in let's pray for a reasonably quick death when it all kicks off. Because actually, you know what, just one more before I don't want to dwell on this because it's just too depressing.
Yeah.
But the other thing I've noticed about this is that the coming period of food shortages, of major food shortages, is not going to be limited to, say, 2 weeks that you can, or 2 months that you can get through. This is a long-term thing. We are never going to get our old world back because it has been deliberately engineered that way by the predator class, the parasitic elite. They have arranged it so that there are tankers backing up outside, you know, Shanghai, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
The supply chain has broken down irretrievably. They've been destroying beehives in South Africa. If you follow Ice Age Farmer, he's for the last, I don't know how long he's been on Telegram, but certainly for the last couple of years, every day he's been telling stories, giving examples of how farmers are having their produce destroyed at the government's behest. That you've seen the one about the avocados dumped by the roadside in Australia, you know, just truckloads. There was a story yesterday about 33, you know, one of those enormous trains they have in Canada, those goods trains.
Right.
Something like 33 carriages were derailed. Guess what they were carrying?
Food, obviously.
Fertilizer. The thing that farmers need most right now, that the massive shortage. Do you reckon that was an accident? Do you think that just by chance a trail just derailed with,
well,
or do you think maybe?
I know you don't think it's an accident. I don't know. Actually, it's funny you say this, because the piece I was working on, actually, which is for the Catholic Herald, is on this formula, baby formula shortage in the United States, which is, have you seen this?
That's engineered as well.
Yeah, possibly. I thought you'd say that. I mean, this isn't where the time where, luckily, I breastfed all of mine, continue to do so. You know, it does make you think, if you can, you should try it. But obviously, lots of women can't or don't. And you're just like, how desperate would you be if you couldn't feed your child? You know, yeah. I mean, how? I can't even imagine what they're doing. I mean, I know you say it's engineered. I can't say either way, but it is scary. I mean, whatever happens, it's scary. And they had to airlift formula in from Germany. Right, the humanitarian airlift is now going into the United States. That's how bad things are. And I saw the lovely Bette Midler, who's normally lefty, saying, you know, oh, why don't you just breastfeed? It's cheaper. And you're like, Bette, if you haven't been doing it, you can't just start feeding your 6-month-old or 9-month-old child if you stop breastfeeding after a week. You know, you can't just turn it on. It's not a tap. It doesn't work like that. I'm like, what kind of person says that? You know, what's wrong with you? There are people out here who can't feed their child, and that's your, you know, response. Anyway, it is shocking. In terms of, yeah, I mean, the IMF have already, I did write about this, the IMF have already said, what, there's like 50 million people at risk if they can't get that grain out of the Ukraine. 50 million. And then what do you hear in the news? Your man has the party gate, the Boris is like holding a bottle of wine. You know, what's wrong with you people? Where is the pressure coming to end this war? You know, I had said I'm not a foreign policy expert, James. I don't hold myself out as one. I leave that to others. But I think our media class have been quite quiet on this war that is putting all of us in jeopardy, including people all over North Africa, in Egypt. If 50 million lives are on the line, I would think you're going to have to make a deal. Instead, they're running all over the place, shaking your man who has an endless supply of you know, olive green T-shirts, my favorite color, you know, giving him loads of weapons to prolong this war. I'm like, is this really what we're doing? I mean, Russia now control the gas, oil, and it seems now all the wheat, well, most of the wheat, and fertilizer. Do a deal. End the war. You know, that's my instinct. As I said, I'm not holding myself out as an expert, but, you know, you probably have even darker takes on it.
No, I agree with you totally. And what you're saying actually is the perfect example of why the mainstream media is disgusting, why it should not be trusted, why it should not be read. Because if the mainstream media did the job that we thought, that we grew up imagining it did, you know, speaking truth to power, holding the mighty to account, defending the interests of the readers, etc. If it actually did that, it would be, every single leader would be saying this. It would be saying, this war in Ukraine is not our business. Our only business is to minimize the fallout, and especially insofar as it affects us. That it's not just confined to suffering Ukrainians. It's also going to affect people like countries like Egypt, where the population is incredibly heavily. It wasn't you who mentioned this, was it? That bread is their staple. It's what they survive on.
Yeah.
So if they don't have bread, they riot and then they die.
I think the Egyptian word is, or what, you know, the word for bread is also the word for life. I mean, you know,
And they're not the only place that relies on Ukrainian and Russian wheat and on fertilizer and stuff. But we know for a fact, because there's loads of evidence of this. Quotes from senior people in the policymakers and sort of senior military saying they want to prolong the war with it's a proxy war, really, with Putin, in order to engineer, ideally, regime change and simultaneously weaken the power of Russia. This has always been the plan of the American deep state by people like Victoria Nuland, who is essentially leading American policy and steering Britain in the same direction. So you've got Liz Truss doing the same thing. You've got the Germans reluctantly being browbeaten into doing this, even though they've got gas supply issues and so on. But so the West is not really this thing we think of the West. It's not that really this collection of free sovereign states of democracies where we the people get to decide what happens. Actually, all these places are under the control of the deep state, which wants a war with Putin, which wants a war with Russia, and wants it to last forever and ever, and the consequences be damned. They don't care about the people who are going to starve to death. They don't care about any of that. In fact, yeah, they want it. They actually want people to starve.
Because it will help the environment, right?
It'll help the environment.
Less people, you know. It'll help climate change. Yeah, I mean, look, I believe anything at this stage. But as I said, your instinct says these things, people should be, as I said, trying to end that war for lots of different reasons. The countries need stability. The Ukrainians want to get home. You're not saying hand the whole thing over to Putin. But the fact that there's basically no, what I'm saying is there's no movement, right? There's no pressure. The people haven't been like this. Yeah, it's also linked to the gas prices. And they just say, sorry, it's going to be like this. You know, we're going to give you, what's Sunak going to do tomorrow? You know,
rebate.
Yeah, here's 300 quid for your gas bill. No, that's not going to cut it for a lot of families. Like, that is not going to do anything when also their food bill is going through the roof. I mean, this is the thing. The media pushing for a tiny windfall tax to give a tiny amount of money to the poorest families, to me, it smells iffy when the most obvious thing to me is to go to the source, and that the source is the conflict in the Ukraine. This needs to end. And if the papers are doing their job, that's where the pressure would be. You know, stop funding them, get in there, get a decent peace deal. Maybe it's going on in the background, who knows? I don't know. This all seems very small fry. Again, what's the front of the Times today? It's just, windfall tax will fund help for poor families. I just, this is not going to happen. You know, the increase they say now is going to go up to 2,800, an average increase of 119% in a year. When has that ever happened? Right, I don't know.
So, instead of calling this out, you're right. The government, the papers are just regurgitating this government propaganda. So I think it was. I try and cancel the newspapers, but the wife still insists on reading them. So I occasionally see headlines, and it was something like, I caught one the other day where it said that Boris's counter to the latest Partygate allegations is that he's going to there's going to be a windfall tax. And people are going to help with their fuel bills. And you're thinking, what kind of mentality would you need to write a story like that when you, as a journalist, you must be aware of the bigger geopolitical picture. You must be aware of the emerging, the supply chain crisis, the imminent food shortages and stuff, the what's happening in Australia and Canada and New Zealand, they've been turned into totalitarian states where, it's like living behind the Iron Curtain now. All this really, really serious stuff is going on, worthy of any newspaper's attention. And instead, they're just pointing out this, oh, yes, and here's more pictures of Boris at a party. And you're thinking, I used to work in that sector, and I used to be a mainstream media journalist, and I used to think that we had the best press in the world because we weren't frightened of telling it like it was and confronting, arbitrary power and stuff. I realized I was deluded, but the people who are still doing it now, What do you think they're thinking? I mean, okay, so at the level of an editor like Geordie Gregg, Mail, Daily Mail editor of Mail on Sunday afternoon, Daily Mail editor. Okay, so he presumably has been chosen because he does Lord Rothermere's bidding, and Lord Rothermere is part of the Predator elite. He's not interested in the readers. He probably despises them, you know, except as a kind of way of generating income. But how low down does it go? I mean, the person who wrote that article saying, we must 20 ways to save money. Number one, abolish your, give up your tumble dryer.
Yeah.
Do these people have any idea what they're endorsing? That they're essentially endorsing the master plan of the predator elite, which wants to destroy them and take away their property rights and everything, or what?
Well, I assume they too have mortgages to pay and increasing food bills, right, and increasing energy bills, and you know, you got to keep your job. So things will probably get even worse. What journalist is going to jeopardize their job now, right? I mean, if they were fired, they'd just get another one. I mean, the editors are the problem. Like this whole, like, again, I know you don't look at the newspapers, but I do. And James, this whole 12, the tips for saving money, it's becoming cult-like. I've never seen it before. It's the new wear your mask, right? And it's all that, I can tell you, it's all the time. There was a huge spread in the Mail about it. The main tip was, eat your cupboard. You go through your store cupboard, which I don't think is a great idea. I think you should be building your store cupboard up. Eat your store cupboard. I'm like, I'm just going to combine, the red onion with my cinnamon spice. What are you talking about? Right? So there's the eat your store cupboard, the tumble dryer. But it's all like... It is the new wear your mask. It is the new keep 2 meters. It's all like taking these measures. Okay, you don't be a spendthrift. Sure. I mean, I agree with that. But this is tiny compared to what the economic Armageddon that's coming to approach us. So what I'm saying is the papers seem to be putting pressure on the readers and all of us, get your bills down. When, I mean, I'm probably repeating myself here, the people they should be putting the pressure on is the government, right?
Yeah.
And okay, they're putting a bit of pressure on them to the windfall tax, but that's about it. Stop telling me how I can save, a fiver over the course of a month when my energy bill has gone up to 119%. Can you please go to the source of the problem, which in general is the government, is the crazy green energy agenda, is the Ukrainian conflict. These are the big issues. That's the only thing that's going to get us out of this mess. As I said, it is the new wear your mask. When the media is constantly focused on what I think the everyday pleb who has no power, what they can do, as opposed to the people who have the actual power, namely the government, that should ring alarm bells. But nobody, nobody seems to, no one seems to notice that. It's just wear your face mask number two. And it'll be as pointless as wearing your face mask. It's not going to solve the problem long term.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I'm not sure I want to eat my, my food cupboard anyway. I mean, I think wood, there's no nutritional value in wood. It's not going to work.
It's crazy. Honestly, it's literally every day. It's literally every day. Sunday Times had a whole calculator where you could calculate the pressure, your individual inflationary, pressure will be. It's just bizarre that it's all focused on, as I said, the voters as opposed to the government. I saw on Twitter last night, your man, they are just the worst. Your man, what's his name? Sam Coates. And he was doing the shouting, the stupid questions at people going into Downing Street.
Oh, and somebody applauded him for his courage in shouting across the street.
Journalism. Do you lie at the dispatch box, Prime Minister? Are you happy with your blah, blah, blah? And you're just like, how about, when are you going to end the war, Prime Minister? Why have you shipped whatever it is, 30 million over to Luzhensky, Prime Minister? When are you going to ditch all your green costs on the top of the bill, which comes to about 20%? When are you going to do that, Prime Minister? No, it's all this, you know.
He didn't. Let me guess. You didn't say any of those things.
Of course he didn't. No, that would be, you know, you'd have to go back to, you know, 1968 in the US for that to happen. Look, what can you say? It is worrying. It is worrying. You think it's a grand plan?
What's a grand plan?
Oh, the food shortages and just all of it.
No, absolutely. I think it's not even a question of whether I think. I know. I mean, it's absolutely the evidence is overwhelming. And it's like I said this the other day on another podcast. I said, look, with regards to the whole climate change thing.
Yeah. You know,
it's not like I am James Scoop Dellingpole, who has privileged access to information that nobody else can get. And thanks to my, you know, with my special hat I've got, it enables me, and my raincoat, it enables me to find out information that nobody can, like, it's all out there. It's so easy. I'm totally not interested in investigative journalism. I think it's boring. You know, I'm not that kind of person. It doesn't pay enough. I mean, okay, if you've got a job as the chief investigative reporter on the Sunday Times or the Mail, probably they've got a budget. But generally, there is no money in scoops. No one's interested. But the whole of the environmental story, which has been rubbed in our noses increasingly. I mean, you think they'd slacken off, but no, they've upped the ante and just do more and more of it. All this stuff is anyone who just like can type a few letters on their keyboard and get to a website can find out that the global warming is not a problem, that the polar bears aren't dying, that the ice caps aren't melting in a way we should worry about, that it's not man-made anyway, any of this stuff, and that all the measures we're introducing to deal with this stuff are actually counterproductive and pointless and expensive and damaging to the economy, etc. This is so obvious, and yet the newspapers now get away with just... Did you see that the Australian chap, the guy who's replaced ScoMo in Australia?
Well, I know, crazy.
Albanese.
Yeah.
I mean, he's clearly as inadequate as Scott Morrison, and actually as bad as the lunatic who's running Victoria.
Yeah.
What's his face? Dan Andrews. So he tweets out this thing that he's discovered these new computer models which show that Sydney is going to be underwater in 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
And you're thinking, hang on a second, you are Prime Minister of Australia. Now, that used to be a reasonably big deal. You know, Australia, okay, it's got a small population and it's the wrong part of the world to have any of anything, but nevertheless, it's Australia. We like Australia. We like Australians and stuff. And you're in charge of running this country. And within a few days of being elected Prime Minister, you come out with stuff with such evidently bollocks. It's just like so completely obviously untrue. And you are using this fake claim put together by party pre-scientists. Who aren't really scientists at all. They're just shills for whatever cause you want. Mm. And you are using this to as your excuse for your country's economic policy, which is going to impoverish and immiserate every Australian and will not work either. And it's all based on a lie. And you're putting this stuff out on Twitter. What kind of world do we live in where a president, a prime minister of a country can do that and not get held to account?
Well, the question, though, is why? Because I was told, I've watched that, it was the very wealthy people who voted this guy in. Again, how do these people get voted in, right? Or how does whatever Jacinda in New Zealand get voted in? Or that lunatic in Canada who's just off the charts crazy and power hungry. I mean, he's actually clearly evil. Yeah, Trudeau. I mean, he's polishing his horns every night. you know, again, the big question seems to be asked as to how these guys get in. But then I suppose the choice is so limited, right? I mean, it's always him or someone nearly as crappy.
Well, that's certainly partly the case. I mean, you think about, look, there is this delusion among our media. I mean, Toby made this mistake the other day when he tweeted out about the Albanese getting in, and that somehow Scott Morrison had been punished for their vaccine policy and stuff. Nothing, absolutely not. The Albanese is at least as bad as Scott Morrison, and it's the same with Keir Starmer. I mean, if he doesn't get ousted because of Beergate, he is the alternative to Boris Johnson. Well, they're the same. It's the Uniparty. They've got the same policy.
Yeah, I mean,
and the same around the world, really.
Just pausing there on that. I mean, I know I can tell you and me are both not that interested in Beergate, but I mean, we sort of should be, because obviously they were literally partying like it was 1999 at exactly the time they were filling the airwaves with complete COVID hysteria. And we should be angry. But when do you think the general public who went along with all this nonsense, when are they going to, do you think they're going to realize that they've just been had? You know, that there's literally wine and beer glasses all over the table at Downing Street, while you were told in no uncertain terms that if you had a maid over for a beer on a Saturday night during November, you were a criminal and you were evil. When's the penny going to drop
this
on
isn't
that?
This isn't a direct answer to your question because it's on a slightly different issue, but there's a piece I recommend by Emerald Robinson on her Substack about Fox News. Do you know about Fox News?
No, tell me more.
Because Fox News, which everyone thinks is this kind of rabidly conservative, crazy, you know, the American far right. It's nothing at all. It's yet another establishment news channel. And like all the other mainstream channels in America, Fox took massive amounts of money was paid by the Biden regime. And I'm sure the same applies in the UK to all the media. Was paid to promote vaccines and forced its employees to get the jab. Anyway, for the first time, a Fox employee called John Roberts, I don't know him, but I think he's probably big deal, he's their White House correspondent, tweeted out, he said, question, anyone out there having chest pain after getting the booster? And as Emerald Robinson pointed out, nobody reads this guy's tweets. He's just like, he normally gets about one reply to his tweets. This time he got 4,000 people responding, all of them talking about the injuries they've had. So this is the first one. My nephew got chest pains and they found numerous blood clots in his lungs, legs, and one in his heart. Another one of four of the medical providers in my office did, all ended up needing to see cardiology. You know, I have a lot of direct family members having heart issues after the vaccine and booster. One of them is my 21-year-old grandson. I wish you all the best. God bless. Anyway, there were 4,000 of these comments. So I think that the walls of the dam are cracking. And as more and more anecdotal evidence emerges from people who've previously thought that it was just them.
Yes.
I think that people are going to start waking up, which is why I'm afraid that we're being distracted with things like Partygate and Beergate and Mr. Zelensky and his latest olive t-shirt. Yeah. It's all designed to kind of don't look at
where,
the
where did he get those from, by the way? Because I, you know, it's one of H&M.
I think they're more H&M. I don't think they're M&S. Muji, are they still going?
It's amazing that he seems to have a bottomless supply of them. Amazing. But no, I mean, yes, I mean, it's one thing. I mean, there's two issues, really, isn't it? It's one thing to have been had over the lockdown, right? And the fact that they stole like a year and a half, 2 years of your life. That would make me angry enough. But if and when people realize that they've been had over the vaccine and they've actually sustained damage from a vaccine that they didn't need to have, I mean, that would basically destroy any faith that with any, you know, left in any sort of institution. which is not, you know, which is not necessarily a good thing. Maybe you think it is. There was a really good, there was I can see that. I mean, there was a really good piece as well, if the readers want to say, is in City Journal, one of my favorite places to read. And it was about, you know, if people are wondering why do they keep falling for this lockdown line? Why aren't people angry yet? And again, I mean, we know what instinctively is because people have invested, you know, so much in the lockdown. It's just too hard. That's it. We won't get fooled again by John Tierney. You know, it's just too hard to imagine that essentially your sacrifice was for nothing, right? That actually reality would be harder to take than just living the lockdown. It's much easier to think the sacrifice was worth it and, you know, we saved so many people's lives and et cetera, et cetera. People become very invested in that. You know, as I said, if you turn around and think actually it was not just worth it, but arguably quite damaging, that's very difficult to accept.
Do you know what it's a bit like? It's a bit like, and I don't want to have a go at Morris dancers necessarily, because A, they're the butt of all jokes, and B, I think Morris dancing is a really good thing and it should continue. But it's a bit like as if the government had said to everyone, right, you've got to get sort of white shirt and white trousers and these ribbons with bells on them. Yeah. And every day you've got to spend 5 hours dancing around a maypole and learning the different moves with the handkerchiefs and stuff. And they did this for 2 years on and off, and there are embarrassing photographs showing people doing their Morris dancing training and stuff. And most people, I think, would just rather forget this episode of their lives. They were coerced into doing something which was not in their interest, that actually they didn't really enjoy doing, and that, I mean, the economic costs of everyone becoming a Morris dancer, I think, would be quite significant. So it's cost the economy a lot of money, and it's as if the last 2 years never happened. It's really weird. It's like, the newspapers, for example, they make almost no reference to what happened. It's like a sort of collective hysteria.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the scene at the end of Perfume. I think we've talked about Perfume before, haven't we?
Yeah.
Where I think it's quite a good movie. I mean, I think it's a really sick book. I think the whole concept is sick. But nevertheless, at the end, where the town just gets swept up in the euphoric wave caused by the perfume extracted from the beautiful dead woman, and the town erupts in an orgy of sex and craziness and stuff, and then it's all over, and they look around and think, what was that about? And I think they'd rather forget it.
I mean I think a lot of that's right. I mean, you could it's human psychology. And the fact that, again, not a single paper says actually maybe we shouldn't have blown. I'm told National Audit Office has it up to, all in all, the lockdown or the pandemic, whichever, costing £370 billion. You know, let's just forget about that. That has no impact on the cost of living at all. You know, the fact that it's not even mentioned, this is just a wall of silence. Or a conspiracy, you know, if you want to call it that, not to point out that so much money was just blown during this city lockdown to get us to where we are. But look, I meant to ask you, how is your weird diet thing going? Were you going to do only meat?
No, I haven't been doing that because I wouldn't get away with it because it'd be too antisocial. Because, like, if you're living it wouldn't work.
You said you were doing, the last time you were on, you said you were going to do radical.
Radical as in, I haven't been eating wheat.
Yeah.
That's been my radical thing. And it's to try and get rid of my arthritis.
Said that.
And apparently it's not like bread is in itself bad for you.
The absence
of bread is definitely worse, but no, I think what it comes down to is things like that. The bread that we eat now is not like the bread that our ancestors ate.
It's been
these are genetically these are mutated strains which have been grown, you know, short stem to and so on. So, but anyway, so I'm experimenting with that.
So you could do rye, or you could do.
You can do rye. It's quite hard to get hold of decent rye.
You can get rye,
and also rye tastes of bloody rye.
Yeah, but that's basically closer to what our ancestors would have eaten. No, I mean, having said that, 50 million people, obviously not having bread when you are completely dependent on it for life is a bad thing. But in terms of Westerners, yeah, you can cut out most of the bread most people eat is complete garbage anyway. And highly, highly inflammatory. So unless you're making it yourself or eating rye, I've found that Marks and Spencer's are now making like an Irish soda bread, which is so addictive. It's just, it's so nice. I don't know if it's any good for you. But...
Soda bread makes me fart.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, yeah, okay.
Wouldn't it do that?
I guess if you're not used to any, if you're not used to this stuff, if you're just used to eating the highly processed stuff, yeah, I guess. But I mean, is this, you maybe you're allergic to gluten or something, I don't know.
Or soda bread.
Yeah.
Soda maybe, whatever it is. Bicarbonate soda they put?
I'm still on my intermittent fasting now. I haven't eaten anything since 6 o'clock last night. So there you go. Yeah.
Oh, when do you start again?
No, anyway, probably after this, I'll crawl over to the, you know, bread.
And you do that every day?
Weekdays, I treat myself to breakfast at the weekend. But I mean, it does make me, it is serious, but you know, it does annoy me slightly when I hear on the telly, you know, we've had to skip a meal, blah, blah, blah. And again, I'm trying to be nice. What people must understand is that big food has been killing you, and then big food pass you on to big pharma when they've created all these illnesses, and then big pharma finish you off. So just for the info, I don't want to be mean, but when you hear people say, I have to skip a meal because the kids won't eat. It's like, listen, skipping a meal, you can do it. In fact, it's probably good for you. You know, it's not going to kill you. I even say this to my own husband, and not being mean to lower income families. You know, this, he wakes up and it's like, I have to have breakfast or I'm going to die. It's like, no, you're not going to die. Most people didn't eat breakfast up till, you know, the 1950s when Kellogg's came along and said, you have to have breakfast. And also the breakfast you have to have is this garbage in a box. A lot of the time it is slightly overweight who were like, ooh, I'm gonna have to skip a meal. I'm like, well, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing.
I think Continental's got it right. The traditional French and Italian breakfast of a coffee and a cigarette, I think is all you need.
Well,
it's good for you. They've got lots of roughage in the cigarette.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I don't do the cigarette bit, but I do the coffee bit. Yeah. I mean, for those of us, if we're going to be stuck with this cost of living crisis, okay, and they're not going to do what they need to do, you know, being positive, you could, you know, watchers or viewers, it could be a way to make some lifestyle changes and say, I will skip a meal. The thing is, I think if you're going to eat, make it count. You know, so many people in the West today just inhale their food, right? Inhale whatever crappy processed food that's highly overpriced anyway in 2 minutes and then go out the door. You're like, no, you know what? Just skip the meal altogether and wait until you have time to make and actually enjoy and eat your next meal, which should be as high quality as you can possibly afford. But obviously the powers that be are trying to make us all eat completely crappy food before they're done with us.
Do you know what I've been doing, actually, to cope with the fact that I haven't got toast with my eggs? Because I like eggs in the morning.
Yeah, eggs are good.
Eggs are good. Yeah, eggs are so good. I have three now.
I can't eat eggs, unfortunately.
Okay. Oh, well, that's really unlucky.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I've been making a hash browns. Hash browns? No. It is hash browns, isn't it? Good. Sorry, corned beef. Wrong. Corned beef hash.
Okay.
Use the Delia Smith recipe.
Right.
Called, I think, How to Cook. She's pretty reliable.
Yeah, she's.
And I make.
Yeah.
And then I make a load of it, and one tin's worth, and that will last me about four breakfasts if I divide it up. And as long as you fry it properly, you don't taste the corned beef, which is always a problem. you know, because corned beef out of a tin is like, it's like being back at prep school. It's horrible.
Well, but when I've you fry never it, had and corned it, beef, and I've never been at prep school, so I'm glad to avoid both of those things in my time.
You don't want, a bit like you in the newspapers, I did it so that you don't have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can really recommend corned beef. It's gluten-free, and it's like, it's got meat in it, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, meat is always a good thing. Tell me, so have you been stockpiling, hand on heart? Are you now, if your cupboard has the wife, have you ordered her to get the wife in, to get the food in?
Okay, the first answer to that is you're not meant to tell people, because that's the first rule about it. It's outrageously honest. The answer is no. I've been absolutely shit about it because I keep thinking, well, I can always leave it another few weeks and it'll sort itself out, and you know, and I haven't got the kind of methodical mind needed for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You've got to kind of be a sort of planning kind of person. You've got to be like you've got to be like Pharaoh after Joseph's dream, or whoever was in charge. Actually, Joseph was in charge, wasn't he? Was he in charge of the grain stores? I think he might have been. I think he. I doubt Pharaoh would have dealt with it, would he?
No, I don't think. No, he warned. He warned the Pharaoh. He warned the Pharaoh that famine was coming. So then he, in you know, and so then he.
Yeah, but then somebody was in charge of.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the Pharaoh. He wasn't going down there, you know, taking the stockpile, James. No. I'm pretty sure on that.
But somebody, yeah, but somebody must have.
It was. I mean, it would only take a trip to Lidl. You know, you just drive it there and you get the basics, the tins. I think I'm going to do it. Actually, I'm getting. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I would feel guilty because obviously it would be on me if we all ended up starving, right? And yeah.
I know that one's standards would quickly drop in times of hunger. I mean, you know, I think of the sort of crap that I had to eat, the gristle and horror that I had at prep school. We were so hungry. It was like being in a POW camp. It really was. I mean, horrible. You'd never do that to children now. You wouldn't. But in my current state, the idea of buying tins of budget tuna just doesn't appeal. I like the really expensive stuff that costs £4.50 a tin.
Yeah, well,
red and yellow can.
Yeah, look, I like the expensive stuff as well. And we have been doing that, especially the meat. But this is the thing. You just do it once. You go down and you get your stuff and then you stockpile it and then forget about it. You know,
yeah.
So that's the thing. I'm not talking like 200 tins of beans, but, you know, you want enough for a month, right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, but then you want to get some claymore mines to surround your perimeter so that you can... At least you can take out the first waves of zombie hordes that come and I don't know how to. I've never used the claymore mine,
right? Okay.
Ever.
Yeah.
I don't even. I wouldn't even know how you get. I mean, presumably you go on the dark web.
Right. I this is above my pay grade. I've got some Nerf guns. I'm not sure that will do the job, but my son has plenty of those with plenty of bullets. So that's the best we can rely on.
That's the thing, though. So many things we lack. So many skills we lack. Like, okay, so it's not just hedge laying and how to skin a sheep and stuff, and how to card wool, how to what else do you do? Well, it's a woman's job, isn't it? I wouldn't have to do it. You know, I think we may have to revive the age when women just sit there with their distaffs, you know, spinning stuff. That's what it'll be like. And I'll be having to go out and kill stuff with my bare hands.
Well,
I'm a bit old for that, then.
Well, you'll be found out pretty quick. You know who the survivors are. That's for sure. My husband is quite handy, actually, when he wants to be. Yeah, he can be quite handy. Yeah, depends.
Yeah, but you see, you obviously knew what you were doing when you picked your husband. I mean, my wife, when she picked me, she just like wasn't thinking ahead.
You're kind of stealthy. You'd move fast, though. You will move.
I'd move fast. And I would move fast. Yeah.
A lot of them these days can't move that fast. Apart from your arthritis, you don't want to be, you know, running with the hordes coming, and you're like, oh no, my.
it's only in my left hand, so I can still
use
axe wielding or my sword wielding hands.
Yeah, dairy as well. They say dairy is inflammatory. You could think about cutting that out, but that's a bit of a killer to cut that out.
I've been thinking the opposite. I've been thinking actually, how does one get hold of a cow? And how does one, aren't they, am I right in thinking they're unhappy on their own, cows, or is that sheep?
I don't know. They're all hers.
I mean, in fairy stories, in Jack and the Beanstalk and stuff like that, don't people, families have a cow, don't they? I think in Brothers Grimm, do they not all have?
Well, the Jack had the cow, yeah.
So then you'd have to milk it.
Yes.
And learn how to churn its. This is the thing, everything is so laborious. I mean, going back to your point about the clothes dryers, imagine without staff what it's like doing sheets through a mangle.
How long would that take? Yeah, I mean, the point is though, that most families did have staff, even though, well, most middle class up, right? And it was the whole day. No, I know, it's crazy. And that's why I'm surprised the feminists haven't been getting more, you know, outraged over it, because a lot of these tips are basically a way of making labor longer for women. So it's weird what's going on. It's very weird, and it does bring home just how unbelievably reliant we are on very complex supply chains, you know, white goods, recent inventions, computers or whatever. You know, if it goes down, it wouldn't take much for the whole thing to creak to a halt.
You wanted to be really cynical, you could say that too was part of the plan, that you create this over-refined, over-indulgent, weakened, morally weakened, intellectually weakened, physically weakened populace.
Genuinely very physically weakened. I mean, honestly, if you, I know I keep going on about it, but it's just crazy, I think, how unhealthy people are. I mean, I include, you know, and just how things have, I think, again, but if you become so far away from where your food is coming from, you know, and you've no idea where it's, and no appreciation either, just no appreciation for the amount of work that goes into it. People, can become very, very unhealthy very quickly. Like even until very recently, I think my kids just thought like the supermarkets literally made the food from scratch. I'm like, what?
That's bad parenting.
Well, thank you. But so we always do say, we always say grace, you know, before meals. And now and again, if you go through the entire supply chain of how this burger got to your table, your grace is about 5 minutes long, right? You got to thank the farmer, you got to thank the butcher, you got to thank the dudes in the factory putting your burger together, you got to thank the truck driver who's getting your burger to the shop, you got to thank the checkout lady, you know, ba-ding, there's your burger on your table. I mean, people should be more, a lot of work has gone into that. And again, if one thing goes wrong with that supply chain, then you're eating just, I don't know, your store cupboard, right? Your spices for the night. So
exactly, and man cannot live on Tabasco and Worcester sauce alone.
No Well, especially not ketchup. You because you like your, as or Aunt Toby as you say, because you guys like your foie gras or whatever. So I think
Worcester sauce is quite a good one. I seem to remember when I was traveling overland through Africa, and you know, we had these, so the local meat was just like fly blown monkeys and stuff like that. You didn't want to really buy meat from the then that was when you could get it. I mean, sometimes we were out in the desert for like 2 weeks, so there was nothing there. And so to make the food more palatable, you tend to need Worcester sauce and curry powder. It just sort of transforms everything.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously it makes Worcester sauce curry powder, but it's probably better than the alternative.
No, I would imagine so. Yeah, well, the things are going to, this shit is really going to hit the fan now in the next year. It's really, really going to hit the fan. And if you, I mean, it's true. I mean, the feminists are going to have to hump off, because if people can't start cooking from scratch and using basic staples now, because the processed food is so expensive, you know, pound for pound, then again, you're going to really feel the heat now. So, getting rid of those home ec classes, again, stupid idea. Those who have bigger social networks and can be self-reliant, they're the ones that are in the strongest position to survive this arguably, as you say, generated crisis, especially if all our journalists are not going to are going to put on any pressure on the government to end the circus.
That's the worst thing. I accept that terrible things are coming, but I think it would be a great consolation if at least, the very least, people knew who was responsible and whom to blame. And they don't.
No.
They don't. You know, it's going to be, when it all kicks off, it's going to be like, well, this is, we should have fought harder against Putin. You know, we should have put measures in place to stop him invading Ukraine, as if that's got, you know, as if that's the reason. This has been planned over decades, not just years. You know, you look at our energy policy, that is designed to make us more reliant on expensive renewable energy as opposed to energy that works. Every detail of this global breakdown has been planned over a period, and we're not looking at the people responsible. We're just going things like, "Oh, Boris, here's Boris having a drink," and that's really bad. And it's
Well, I mean, plan.
I'd almost say we deserve it.
Leave it to others to say with plan. It was certainly negligent. You know, whatever they've done is negligent. And even today on the radio, they're still going on about, oh, we're going to do the green renewable and the green energy degree. And you're like, this has caused so much problems. They're just going to want it to double down, right? They're just going to double down. Go on.
And did you see Sky's take on the farming crisis? You must have seen this. Sky News. What's their take on the...
I can only imagine.
That farming is a very, very white profession. There's not nearly enough black people doing it.
They didn't say that, really, did they?
And you're thinking, farms are closing down. Farmers are so overburdened with regulation that they cannot, it's not worth their while to provide us with food anymore. And here is Sky, and their take is, we need more black people in farming.
That's incredible.
Your jaw drops. It's just
that is incredible. That it's crazy. I mean, yeah, it's but actually, because I'm going to end on this now because I need to triple check the baby.
I need a coffee.
There is, speaking of bad parenting and educating. So I didn't know Open Farm Sunday was a real thing, viewers out there. So I think Open Farm Sunday is on something like the 20th of June or something. Do you know this? Where you can rock on, people open their farms. And you can rock on down. I'm just checking the date here. And you can rock on down to this here thing. And you can see, not like a tiny little farm that I used to bring the kids to, you know, that has like a goat and a chicken or whatever it is, whatever nonsense that is. But I know it's coming up. It might be the 12th of June or the 20th of June. Anyway, it's all Googleable, of course. Right. So I've found one that that isn't that far away. Obviously, it's in Kent. And yeah, hopefully the plan is to bring at least one of them down there, so they can figure out that, you know, burgers aren't made or grown in Sainsbury's. So bad, you know. That's today.
I agree. That's a good thing.
I feel for them. It's what's happening now is just shocking. It is shocking. It only really gets worse. But I guess if they thought, well, they're going to buy the lockdown vaccine nonsense, they'll buy anything. Right. Unfortunately, that's probably what's happened.
Do you know what I'm looking at now? Sorry, this has completely changed the subject, but somebody mentioned it this morning and I want to go and see it.
Oh,
I mean, it won't mean anything to you. Steve Hackett, out of the filigree guitarist out of Genesis, is going on tour and he's playing Foxtrot. Which is the album we always used to listen to in the kind of early 70s.
Wow.
You don't know it, do you?
Because I wasn't born in the early 70s, James. So I guess
I think the 70s were much better. They were.
Yeah, well, the energy crisis was in the 70s, right? So you can tell them all about that. The olden days, as my kids like to say. What was like in the olden days?
Well, you go and check on your baby and see whether it's
quite quiet at the moment, but he was awake at 5, so yeah.
Yeah, obviously, go and be a mother and I'll go and have a coffee.
You know the way they wake up at 5, and then what I love is, I think, you know, around 8:30, 9, he sort of yawns, you know, it's like, okay, I'll just have my mind back now, thanks very much, and I'm just like, the cheek, you know, oh, I just... Yeah, just, you know, let's get in my few hours now. Oh, it's, yeah. But they are very cute. What can you do?
Yeah.
You know, I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. Okay, listen, take it easy. Enjoy half term.
All right.
Stockpile.
Yeah. Bye.
Stockpile.
Oh, yeah.
Do it.
All right.
Take it easy. Bye. Bye.